From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Audie Cornish. The holiday movie season is upon us. Last week, Vampires took over the Cineplex. This week, they'll be joined by Guardians, Santa Claus, and Jack Frost. That's good news for the kids and for their discerning parents, because it's also time for studios to cram their Oscar contenders into theaters. With 39 days left in 2012, there are at least that many movies still to open. Never fear, we asked Bob Mondello for a preview.
You know what's been missing at the multiplex for almost a decade? Hobbits and their favorite wizard.
Far to the east, over ranges and rivers, lies a single solitary peak. The dwarves are determined to reclaim their homeland.
Director Peter Jackson is back with the first installment of a trilogy that's sort of a prequel to his Lord of the Rings trilogy. On the page, J.R.R. Tolkien's The Hobbit is about a kinder, gentler Middle-earth, but it looks as if Frodo's adopted uncle Bilbo is still going to get a pretty good workout.
Mr. Bilbo, where are you off to?
I'm going on an adventure!
An adventure that's going to be in both 3D and something called HFR. For high frame rate, because the director wanted heightened realism. Elsewhere, technical advances are being put in the service of real-world realism, nowhere more dramatically than in the film The Impossible, which recreates a tragedy that struck Thailand in 2004, a tsunami. Real-life stories often appeal to Oscar voters, so you can count on them being everywhere as award season approaches. Serious fare like The Impossible and Zero Dark Thirty about the Navy SEAL raid that killed the world's most sought-after terrorist.
Osama bin Laden.
You will never find him. He is one of the disappeared ones.
Also, lighter looks at history, including film history. Anthony Hopkins and Helen Mirren, for instance, playing Tinseltown's Master of Suspense and his wife in Hitchcock.
It was the knife that, a moment later, cut off her scream and her head. Charming. Doris Day should do it as a musical.
Good afternoon. This looks psycho. This fiendishly entertaining.
Hopkins is being mentioned as a possible Best Actor nominee for Hitchcock, as is Bill Murray for Hyde Park on Hudson. Murray plays President Franklin Roosevelt, entertaining the King's Speech King, George VI.
So nice of you to come.
Mr. President.
Forgive me for not getting up.
It was just one of those
At the
things.
Picnic, the President's wife has organized just that hot dogs be served as our main dish.
Are they trying to make fun of us?
I don't know.
The royals provide a comic lift to Hyde Park on Hudson. Meanwhile, the season's more boisterous comedies mostly center on aging or parents and children, and in some cases, both. Judd Apatow's This Is 40, for instance.
Why does it say 38 and not 40?
Because your mom wants to be 38. Let's not mention it again.
Then there's Guilt Trip, in which Seth Rogen takes a road trip with Barbara Streisand.
Do you have any rooms available?
Room for you and your lady?
Ooh, a lady?
Andy, they have clip-on frog earrings.
Oh, dude, don't wink at me. It's my mother. Insane.
Quartet has aging musicians not quite getting it together to recreate a youthful singing triumph.
We have four of the finest singers in English operatic history.
I don't think I want to sing with Jean again.
They were married once, but it didn't work out.
We were different people then.
And Parental Guidance has Billy Crystal and Bette Midler babysitting for their grandchildren.
Grandpa tells lots of jokes that you won't get. Just laugh.
Hello, boys. Still single?
For kids, by the way, there's very little that's new, just Monsters, Inc. re-released in 3D and a Cirque du Soleil movie. But overgrown kids, at least ones who are looking for an R-rated, star-studded assassin flick, will have plenty to choose from, including Killing Them Softly with assassin Brad Pitt.
You ever killed anyone? They cry, they plead, they call for their mothers.
Stand-up guys with assassin Christopher Walken, ordered to kill his best buddy, Al Pacino.
So who's gonna do it?
Do what?
You know what? Come on. Just say, it's you.
It's me.
Jack Reacher with Tom Cruise investigating sniper killings.
I am not a hero. If you're smart, that scares you.
And Quentin Tarantino's Django Unchained with slave Jamie Foxx teamed with Civil War era assassin Christoph Waltz.
Do you know what a bounty hunter is?
You kill people.
I'm looking for the Brittle Brothers. However, I don't know what they look like, but you do.
They caught my wife. And they sold him, but I don't know who took.
Once a final Brittle Brother lies dead in the dust, I agree to give you your freedom.
and I'll take you to rescue your wife.
Sound like too much violence? Well, even at the art house, things will be rough. Two French pictures have been the talk of fall festivals, for instance, and are about to open. Amour tells a harrowing tale of an elderly couple facing the challenges that come at the end of life. And Rust and Bone has Marion Cotillard dealing with the aftermath of a tragic accident. Both are gorgeous, but cheerful? Not really. Matt Damon's new movie, Promised Land, meanwhile, is about warding off environmental tragedy. He plays a guy who's offering big money to farmers if they'll let his company tap natural gas reserves under their land with hydraulic fracturing, or fracking.
You sign this lease, it gives us the right to drill on your land.
A whole lot of money down there.
What kind of money are you talking about?
You could be a millionaire.
Research say anything about an environmental presence here?
No.
Hi, everybody. I'm here because my farm is gone. The land just turned brown and it died. If it's happened to one of us, it can happen to all of us.
If Promised Land sounds torn from the headlines, that's even more true of a trio of upcoming courtroom documentaries. The Loving Story, about the Supreme Court decision that invalidated anti-miscegenation laws. West of Memphis, which revisits the controversial conviction of three teenagers in a brutal murder case. And a new Ken Burns documentary, Central Park Five, about the miscarriage of justice in Manhattan's infamous Central Park jogger case.
There's no DNA match whatsoever to any of these boys.
I was going nuts. No blood on the kids. Nobody could identify them. But if they confessed, they confessed, and that was that.
A lot of people didn't do their jobs. Reporters, police, prosecutors, defense lawyers.
We falsely convicted them, and we walked away from our crime.
A lot of seriousness for the holidays, and that even applies to the season's big splashy musical, which is, after all, the story of an 18th century rebellion. Broadway's Les Miserables arrives on screen with Oscar buzz not just for its stars, but for something the filmmakers say will make this musical different from any film musical in decades. They did not pre-record the singers in a studio. They had them sing on set while they were filming.
You can tell in your bones there's something false or unreal about people singing to playback. What will be exciting for the audience is that singing live has such a profound effect on the power and the realism of this story.
The movie's trailer makes a compelling case. Do you hear the people sing? You will in 3 weeks more. I'm Bob Mandela. One day.